morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day. Good to see you in the Lord's house. Great to be here, and it's always good to be with God's people here at Porter. Welcome to each and every one this morning, and we have two or three people absent from this morning, four or five, as a matter of fact, but we also have a couple of young fellows here, our grandson, Zach, and I don't know the other guy's name over there. What's his name? Kyle, yeah. Zach and Kyle are here with us, and we're glad to have them with us this morning. And they're going to take me to dinner afterward. And they're working. They're both working. And so they're going to take me to dinner. Good to be here. Group of kids was playing, and the little girl says, "Let's play school." And little Terry says, "I don't want to play school." She says, "No, come on, let's all play school." She kept it up, and finally Terry says, "Okay, I'll play school with you. Count me absent." I'm so glad that you didn't count yourself absent this morning, that you're here in our presence, you're here with us, and join with us to praise the Lord. Let me share with you a few verses here from 121. "I will lift up my eyes from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Let's praise this good God we have.
For hymn of worship this morning, we'll use hymn number 2, sing the first, third, and the fourth verse. It's all saying.
Save your Savior unto thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's join in prayer. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful, dear God, we have this time together, another opportunity. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we live in this great nation. We can come together like this and express our faith, share with one another what good things that you have been doing in our lives, and just to honor you and praise you for them. So, Heavenly Father, we desire to honor you. We desire to praise you and give you thanks for all the good things that we experience in our life, Heavenly Father, and for your help and the troubled times that we have, and comforting us, Heavenly Father, in our sorrows, and helping us, Heavenly Father, to meet those challenges that we face day by day. We thank you for that. We come this morning thanking you for it and praising you for your goodness in dealing with us, your mercy that you have for us, the compassion that you've had upon us, Heavenly Father. Most of all, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we can gather around the Lord's table and celebrate and be reminded of your love through Christ, your Son and our Savior, as we think about him going to Calvary and giving his all there for us. Almighty God, how thankful we are to have Jesus in our life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everybody could experience the joy of serving Jesus and to knowing you and his Father, God in heaven, that loves us and cares for us as you do. Now, Father God, bless our people that's gathered here. Give us direction. Give us strength, Heavenly Father, to do those things and face those things this coming week, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
For communion, hymn is number 157, sing the first and last verse.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of sinners was slain. Broken body and the use of the blood that he shed on the cross
forgiveness of our sins. We, Father, we thank you for this great sacrifice, and we come now and ask forgiveness when we fail you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father, once again, we're thankful for the opportunity to have to be back in thy house, and as we bring back the portions of the message, bless us and may benefit thy kingdom. Also, bless the gifts. We pray for things we've seen do this morning to be pleased in that sight. We ask for forgiveness when we fail, thee strength to be more likely. These words are asked in thy name. Amen.
A couple things to share with you, but before I get into that, I have a bad report here. It's been reported to me that there is a person of our congregation who has been going up the highway making faces at people in another vehicle, and they say that she was riding in a white Dodge truck. So I need to speak to that person if you know who that is. Okay, down to business. No birthdays. I guess we. Anything else taking place that we need to share one with another? The Bible study tonight. We're in the. Finally got out of chapter 9. We're into chapter 10 this week. Chapter 11. We was out at, 10 and 11. He was, hey, glad to see you back.
Thanks.
Have a good time in Florida?
Yes.
Well, great. Chapter 11. 9, 10, and 11 are, all the Book of Romans is very special study. 9, 10, and 11 is, we've been in them for quite a while, and there's a whole lot in there. Those are really the meat of the book right there. So we'll be in chapter 11 tonight. Okay, anything else? I think something else I had to go. Let's turn to our prayer list then. As you notice, there's several people absent, and of course, Ron and Tina were absent last week because Tina just wasn't up to par. And Tina works, as you know, in the hospital, and she told me, she said, don't go to visit anybody in the hospital the last couple of weeks. Said, because, boy, the hospitals was full of all kinds of things, you know. And so she does a lot of things to keep her from catching anything, but she did get a little thing last week. But this week they're down in Georgia to some of the grandchildren are in a tournament of some kind, so that's where they are. They're traveling this weekend, so we can pray for them there. And then also Fanny and Wayne are not here this morning. They are so faithful, and they come so far, and we appreciate them so much, but... Wayne's brother is in the hospital down at Berea, Kentucky, and he's got double pneumonia, I believe it is. And so we want to be in prayer for them. And who else is absent that for recent here?
Where's Donna?
She's sick.
Donna?
Yeah, okay, yeah, Donna, we got out of the choir here. Donna, as we told you last week, was going last Monday to get some examinations and so forth on her shoulder. And so right now it looks like that in maybe the 12th or so this coming next month, she'll be having an operation there. So let's just keep her in prayer for those things that'll take place, whatever has to be done there, and that all will go well. We know it will. And so she, this morning, though, she is just not quite up to par. And you know, we appreciate the time. We know that people has colds and so forth, and maybe they're not bad, but they just don't want to pass them on, to take the chance of passing on to somebody else. You know, read this little story about the little girl said, yeah, I said, my mother, she's real faithful, says she goes to church every Wednesday, plays bingo, or even if she has a cold. And so we appreciate the fact that people has concern for others, that they're not going to take a chance of giving somebody else something else. So we appreciate that. So we pray for her. We miss her. We miss you folks, every one of you, so when you're not here, we miss you. And so let's look at our prayer list. Others on our prayer list that we, I never got anything back from, I told you I was trying to find from Farmer Preacher and Gary, but I never did get a message back from him, so I assume everything's all right there. And any other reports? Nobody told me this morning. Give me any reports this morning, back and forth. Everybody's doing fairly well. We still have people that's needing prayers, and that's why we got a prayer list there to keep us mindful of them. So go up and down those lists and remember what we have talked about and be praying for those people for the various needs of their lives. Pray for this congregation. Pray for great things to come. Pray for our country. Our country, I don't want to be too critical, but I mean, we've faced a lot of things, but I kind of think we were looking up a little bit. Some of the things are taking place. And I believe even in Kentucky, I think they didn't they vote to be able to talk about God in school now? Here's one of the problems, folks, and I say this with kindness toward them. But, you know, when we were going to school, we had a lot of teachers that were honored God and respected God. So we need to be praying that our teachers, maybe now that the young people might even be an influence on our teachers that we have, because we have a lot of teachers, and I say this out of knowledge and out of love and out of concern for it, a lot of teachers that doesn't honor God. So if we have a teacher that's not going to honor God, they're not going to be an influence to the people, the kids in the classroom. So let's hope that back and forth that'll work. And let's be thankful that we can mention the Word of God in school here in Kentucky again. So our nation and all that's taking place in it, people in the care homes and such, we want to be very mindful of them and those who care for them. And again, for each other here. Vern was absent last week. I called him. He was doing pretty good, but he just wasn't up to call. But looking good today, man. And so we're glad to have you here. And who else is here with us? So it's just good. And Rich and you and your granddaughter down there, we missed you the last couple of weeks. We're glad that you're back with us today. And so may God bless you and encourage you as we come to our prayer time. May God give to you while we worship and pray together the guidance that you need to make this week, a coming week, a joyful week.
For prayer hymn, we'll use number 96, sing the first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer. That's all, Sam. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you giving over your departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend and shalom. You're no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled and out of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ coming, kingdoms are sighing. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's alone. You're no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege you granted us to come to your house this Lord's Day. Be with the ones on the prayer list of church. Comfort and restore them to their normal health again, and be thy will. Be with many as you bring the morning message that we all can receive it. Be with us now through the coming exercise of the day. Give us for our many sins. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. The invitation hymn will be number 348. At this time, the choir brings special.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir.
Very pretty.
Thank you. I'm gonna resign from telling jokes from my sermon, because you know, I think Bergen got that last one. I don't know about the guy that was looking for an award, you know, for the Nobel Peace Prize, and. They was going to appoint somebody that was outstanding in his field. I think Bergen, I don't think Kathleen ever got that. You know, so I'm going to quit telling them jokes at all. Okay. Hey, I want to share with you from Joshua. You folks just read the book of Joshua just this week, didn't you? And all you folks that are in a reading program, why, keep your... Mark back there and let us know that you're finished with your monthly reading, and we're just doing good. But isn't it good to get out of the book of Joshua and get all that survey and all the properties off? You know, everybody got this land and that land and so forth, but we know who owns what. And Caleb, I like Caleb. He said, I want that mountain, you know, and that's what we ought to be going for. We want to get that mountain, boy. And so it's great, but I know it was a little bit long there in the giving out all the land to all the tribes and so forth, was very interesting in it. So we hope you got interested in it. Joshua chapter 1, of course, this is about a week old now. This is, I've been getting something within a couple of days here, and Sierra and I've been trying to guess me. You didn't get close today, did you? Nah, didn't you? You've been in Florida fooling around. You didn't try. Yeah. Okay, but we're at Joshua chapter 1, and I want to share first few, about 9 verses here, to launch out with the message, to try to share with you, to encourage you in some things and help you to see what Scripture has to say to us. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and the Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. They shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto these fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosper, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Now, I titled this, you know, The Secret to Success. I had a couple different titles for it, but Secret to Success. And I know probably you say, well, he's going to use that verse, you know, that keep this word in your mind, meditate on it and so forth. But we're going to bypass that. That's a good verse for us to use. We want to have the Word of God. We want to meditate on it. We want to have it in our heart and our minds and speak it out and so forth. But I want to share with you, and we'll end up with three short things that will help us to be, which is kind of a secret to success. The real secret to success is to abiding by the word of God, doing what he asks us and so forth. But I want to speak to you this morning. Someone, you know, to be successful. And we talk about success a lot. And if you were to go in any main street of any city and you ask 100 people, what would you consider successful? And how would you define success? You'd get 100 different ways to define success. And someone has said that behind every successful man, there is a woman who's surprised. Yeah. And that's probably true. And so some men think, you know, to be successful, they ought to have a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And or maybe the golf game of Tiger Woods. Maybe the face of Denzel Washington. Or maybe the brain of Albert Einstein. Or maybe the money of Bill Gates. You know, that's real men, to be successful and so forth. And but some women, they believe that to be successful, they have to have the beauty of Halle Berry and the paws of Maui Angelou and the notoriety and the fame and the finance of Oprah Winfrey, you know. But someone has said that being successful is doing, how is it, uncommon things the common way or the common way uncommon way, something like that. But anyhow, money is not the only thing. Fame is not the only way to be successful. You know, some think, you know, that you can be successful if you have a lot of money and the success and money do not necessarily, they're not necessarily the same. You see, money can buy a palace, but it can't buy a lovely home, loving home. Money can buy your way to a good doctor and so forth, but it will not guarantee the God-given health. And it's that the blessings of God's given health. Money can buy lots of people, the company of lots of people, but money cannot buy the genuine fellowship of true friends. And money can buy a companion for a night, but it cannot buy love. Some people think success having power, and that's not true, because Hitler had power, Mussolini had power, what is it, that Adolf Hitler, or however his name, he had power. Jim Jones had power, but it wasn't success, you know. Those 13 or 19 Islamic extremists that flew the planes on 9/11, they had power. But we don't count them power as successful. And so some people think that success is avoiding criticism. It doesn't. You know, the only way that you can avoid criticism is the fact that you do nothing, you be nothing, and you say nothing, and you won't get criticized. But the book of Joshua here is a great book for it. And I want to look at Joshua just for a moment and look at Joshua's life and see some points in his life that shows us some successful things, you know. As we come to this book, we know that Moses has died. We talked about that last week, you know, that Moses had died and God had taken him to his own. And Joshua now has been chosen to be the leader to take Moses' place here. And the Israelites here, they have been led by Moses and out of the slavery of Egypt and through the wilderness and actually just to the brink of the promised land. And yet he's not allowed to take them in. Joshua now is chosen for his replacement here. And I'm convinced that a nation that, you know, that is suffering for the lack of giving God credit. We see that with Moses. We see the Israelites, when they failed to give God credit, they suffered from it. We know that when Moses, one of the reasons that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land was the fact that he took credit upon himself of the getting the water from the rock. And God said, because you didn't give me the credit for that, the full credit that I deserve for that, you're not going to get to go into the promised land. And I'm convinced that that our nation, I'm convinced as a church, I'm convinced that as people, as individuals, that we don't give God the credit that he deserves, what he is doing for us, what he has done for us, what he's doing for us, what he will do for us, until we do give God credit for what he has done for us, we will suffer for our lack of giving God the glory and honor and credit for what he is doing. I'm very thankful to be a part of the church here at Porter, because I look at you folks, and you folks do honor God. Look at you here this morning. You're here. You're eager. You're up, and your contentness is good, and so forth. You're here, and the reason you're here is to honor God, because God is so good to you. God is blessing you. So I'm very, very blessed to be a part of this church family, because you give him credit for what he has done in your life, what he's doing in life, what he'll do in your life. Not only that, you live your life with thanksgiving to God for what he's done doing for you in your life. And I really appreciate it. And it's really encouraging to be among people who honor God and do respect him for what he does and what he is doing and what he has promised to us. Well, back to the book of Joshua. The leadership now has been given over to Joshua as we begin in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And Joshua is now the only one of two people that has come out of the slavery of Egypt. All the rest has died. As you know, the younger ones that has been brought on and so forth. And so Joshua plays a very special part in the life of Israel here. And so Joshua is now, again, I say, one of two that has come out of Egypt. I believe Joshua, he was born there, and he was raised under slavery. Now, you know, the Egyptians, we talk about the slavery of Egypt all the time, but I think we miss a point sometime of the fact that they weren't always in slavery. They weren't enslaved when they went down there. If you remember, it was Joseph that invited them to come because of the famine. And his father and brothers and them came, and they were situated in the best land of Egypt, Goshen land, very fertile land and so forth. And as long as Joseph was living, they were all right. And they lived well. They weren't enslaved. After Joseph died then, you remember, then's when, and Pharaoh had died, new Pharaoh come on, and that's when they went under slavery. And from that time on then, They were enslaved to Egypt and making the bricks to make the palace and all those things that Egypt had. And so Joshua was a part of that. Joshua was a part of that. Him and we know of Caleb that were a part of that. And but Joshua proved to be a God-fearing man, really. He had great confidence in God, because Joshua saw the plagues in Egypt. He saw when God opened the waters and made dry land for them to come through. Joshua saw the manna and ate of the manna. Joshua also drank of the fresh water from the rock. And he saw the miraculous things that God did for the people. And he knows, and he had great confidence in God. Matter of fact, if you remember, he and Caleb are the only two that really had confidence in God at that time. Well, Moses did. And I'm not too sure about Aaron and Miriam back in that time, because they grumbled against Moses, against God. So they didn't have the confidence they ought to have. But Joshua and Caleb, they had confidence. Because you remember Moses, I think back in Numbers 11, and when Moses gathered 12 men to go into the promised land to search it out, God had promised them a land that's overflowed with milk and honey. Moses selected 12 men to go into that land and search it out and see if it's really what God has promised to us. So you know the story, how they went in and they saw it was really good, and they had things of grapes that they had to have two men to carry them on a pole and brought back some to show them how luscious things grew there in the promised land. And they said, let's go ahead and take it. Well, you know the story where 10 of them said, no, said, we can't do that. They had lack of confidence in God. They said, there's giants in that land, and we can't take them. Caleb and Joshua spoke up and said, we can tempt. God promises the land. God said for us to go take it. We can take it. So majority ruled. And that's where they were. But we know from the very beginning that Joshua had great confidence in our God that we serve today. And Joshua's and Caleb was one of the, was two of the 12 spies that said, yeah. And you know, that's, isn't that our problem? We look at our problems and we think they're giant problems. But hasn't God promised us that we can overcome our problems? That's why Jesus came. For us to be able to overcome the greatest problem, and that's sin in our lives. And oftentimes we look at the at our problems and we look at them as they're giants, and they block then the blessings that God has for us. That's what happened to the Israelites. They allowed the giants to block their vision from what God would do. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. But they said, no, the giants. Until we look past the giants to see what God would do, we won't get past our giant problems that we have. We'll always look at them that way. So Joshua, also we see here, also as this scripture says, Joshua was a servant of Moses. From his youth, it says, he was a servant of Moses. He was a minister to Moses, really. Joshua was followed Moses. Joshua was chosen to lead the army of Israel and fight as we come through the promised land. Joshua was with Moses on the mountain when he spoke to God. So he was a very close one to Moses. He was a follower of Moses, really, we can say. And so we read about the victories that Joshua had overcome for the Israelites there. And so about 40 years before Joseph led the Israelites into the promised land, Moses had sent him 11 out, and he had looked at the promised land. And here in verse 8, he says, you know, that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou meditate there day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and thou shalt have good success. Well, that's true. That's and as long as we'll adhere to that, that will take place. But here I want to real quickly share with you three thoughts of the secret to success, and they're right here in this passage. And what number one is this, and speaking of Joshua, because Joshua was a man that did this very thing. And the first thing is, keep your eyes on the promises of God. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. Too often. See, I mean, what did the 11 do? And they convinced the whole people of Israel. Took their eyes off of God. Off the promises God had promised them. The first principle that we could learn from Joshua is that to succeed, we're going to have to keep our eyes on the promises of God. As I said, about 40 years before Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, Moses sent him and 11 into the promised land there, and God had promised them the land, and he had promised success and prosperity. Isn't that what it says? Twice, at least here, we see where God's word says that you will progress, that you will prosper in this land. And Joshua took that to heart. He believed that with all of his spirit and soul here. Joshua kept his eyes on the report of God, the good report of God, on the promises of God. And because he did, he entered the promised land. Joshua was allowed. That was one of the things that allowed Joshua to go into the promised land. He was confident of God. He kept his eyes on the promise of God, and he was allowed to go into the promised land. He and Caleb were the only two that come out of Egypt that were allowed to do that, that came out of the slavery of Egypt, I guess we'd say. So here we have, Joshua was a servant of Moses. He followed well, and he entered into the promised land. So number one is keep your eyes on the promise of God. And number two is this. What does the scripture say, Joshua, he was a good follower. You know, until we learn to be good followers, we'll never be good leaders. And Joshua was a servant of Moses. Joshua learned from Moses' leadership. Moses was one of the greatest leaders that walked other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua followed after him, and Joshua looked to him. And so to be a good follower will help us to be good leaders. And so we have the second principle of success is to learn to, as Joshua was, to be a good follower. Before Joshua was ever a good leader, he was a good follower of Moses. And if we focus on the leadership, those above us and those are out in front of us, we one day then can also be one of those leaders also. So be a good follower here, he says. So the key to why Joshua was a good leader, how well you follow now will indicate how well that you will lead later. If you're not a good follower, you'll never make a good leader. And how we need some good followers. We need some good leaders, and we need people that will follow the things that the Lord has set forth for us here. Joshua did that. When you're asked to do something, how well are you following? You know, I have to say here in this congregation, I've always had good results. Practically everybody, and over the years I've been here, everybody that I've asked to do something, they did it. They were willing to do it. Now, I have experienced in years past at a couple of the other churches that I were at that wasn't so. But I believe that is a great asset we have here, that people are willing to follow what you have for them to do. And so, number one, keep your eyes on the promise of God. And then, two, be a good follower, and God will raise you up to be a good leader. And now here, number three is this thing here, courage, good courage. Have great courage. God says, now he mentions that and puts a strong emphasis on it. Be of strong courage. Read a story of this fellow, and his name was Blankenship. I had him down. I don't know whether I got here or not. Where is I had that? But anyhow, Mr. Blankenship. I'll just call him Mr. No, I'll call him Ray Blankenship, and that I think that's what his name was, from up in Ohio. And Ray Blankenship lived in a subdivision. And behind his house there, behind his yard, was a great-sized drainage ditch. And in when there was rainy season like we've been having lately, that thing would overflow. And it went down, ran down, and went under the road and then into the creek that went on into the river. And so this particular morning, Mr. Blankenship was fixing his breakfast, and he looked out the window, and it had been storming and raining and so forth, and the storm ditch was running, overflowing, and he saw this little girl floating in that thing. And he dropped everything, and he knew that it wouldn't be long. She'd be sucked into that drain under the road and gone and disappear. So he runs, and he runs down the ditch line, tries to get ahead of her, and he did. He plunged into there. He wrestled getting up, and when he did, he got the girl by the arm, and he knows he's just a few feet from that going under the road. And fortunately, he grabs a hold of something on the bank, a rock or something sticking out on the bank. And he holds on to that. He said to himself, if I can just hold on to that until the life squad or fire department or somebody gets here to help us, you know. But fortunately, he was able to wiggle out and got him and the girl out. Later on, he was given a great award for that, for rescue of some kind. I forget who actually gave it to him, but a great reward for that. But what they didn't know, that he was in a greater danger to himself than anybody else. Because Ray Blankenship couldn't swim. Couldn't swim. And so if you're getting it right, it took great courage for that man to jump in that swollen ditch. See, great courage doesn't let fear stop them from doing something. You with me? Every time that you get stopped from doing what you ought to do, it's 99% sure that it comes from your fear. courage overruns fear. I can see Ray Blankenship, and I know that he would have never got in water over his head. He would be afraid of drowning. But when he saw that young lady floating, he did not let his fear stop his courageous rescue of that lady. Joshua had that type of courage. And so, yes, one, we need to keep our eyes on the promise of God. Number two, we must follow well. And lastly, number three, is that to have courage. The third success of principle that I find from here is have courage. Joshua wasn't expecting to take Moses' place. I'm quite sure when they came out of the Canaan land, when they was there at the rock, when they was eating manna from heaven, I don't believe Joshua ever thought about taking over Moses' place. But now he's there and God speaks to him. And so there must have been a little bit of fear in. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of fear. We ought to have a little fear in there, but we can overrun that with courage as Joshua did. And so courage is the ability to operate with the absence of fear, to not have fear to stop us, to accomplish anything that God gives us to do. It takes courage. You think about it when you're reading, studying the New Testament. You think about Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and for them to go into places they did, and for them to minister in places they did. Did Paul fear for his life? Yeah. He feared that his life could be taken, but he didn't allow that fear to stop him from taking the good word of God to people needed it, did he? He was courageous. He stood before people who stoned him, people who beat him. Courageously, he stood before them and spoke to them. So courageous is the ability to operate here without being obsessed with fear here. We can learn from Joshua. We have to find our focus on God's promises and not on our circumstances. You know, when you let them circumstances become a giant, you're in problem. You're a problem. We need to be good followers, knowing that good followers will be good leaders. I like, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you're faithful in few things, I'm going to appoint you over, be faithful over many things. And so that is right what Jesus is saying. So Joshua kept his eyes on God's promises, and he followed Moses, was a good follower. Now he's a leader, and he's a courageous man as he leads forth. And the courageous man that he was, he led Israel into the promised land. And what I want to leave you with this morning, this story is this. Just as Joshua was the leader that led Israel into the promised land, haven't said much about Jesus, have I? But I want to leave you with, Jesus is our Joshua. Jesus has come, the courageous one, and he has suffered all things for you and me. And Jesus will lead us into our promised land. Amen. Today, if you're not following Jesus, see, God has promised you a land greater than this one. He has promised you good things in this land that we live, blessed in this land. But he said there is a land fairer than this one. And Jesus has come. He is the one that's going to lead us. Are we following him there? Will we make it? Well, if we follow Jesus, he will lead us right into our promised land. Asking you this morning, are you following Jesus? If not, we invite you to come, receive him, and follow him as we stand. Sing the first verse only. Stand with me, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house, and thank you for your participation in reading the Word with us and so forth. And as you just now went through Joshua, you're very familiar with him and so forth. And it's great, great reading there. And so this, as you leave here, I want to encourage you to you could have said, well, Benny, you know that one verse, you know, meditate on the Word and you'll be successful. You will. But I think the little three things there that we talked about will really help you to be the success that God would have you to be if you were to follow those. Keep your eyes on the promise of God there and be a good follower and be courageous in those things that God has for you to do. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we leave this morning, we are so thankful for the good people gathered here. And we're so thankful for the written Word that we can look into it and we can see the examples for. In fact, Paul was writing to the Corinthians and said, you know, that those things before, and he was referring to exactly what we were talking about, how that Joshua was there and leading the people and what took place there. And he said those things were done for our example. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you that we have them. Help us to look then at the life of Joshua and the others, Heavenly Father, that's gone on before us. Help us to follow after them, Heavenly Father. And I know, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless us and that we'll be a blessing to others. Now we pray as we leave this morning that you'll bless our people with good things this week. Help them to be a blessing to others as they go, we pray. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.